United States versus Day. Ms. Kister.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the Court. Excuse me. If we look at the conduct and the conduct alone in Mr. Day's reckless homicide conviction in the state of Illinois, that conduct was not in and of itself conduct which poses or seriously poses a risk.
Well, I don't agree with that. I must say, leaving the scene of an accident after you've just hit two people strikes me as extremely, extremely dangerous activity. I mean, it's outrageous.
It is outrageous. It's reprehensible conduct.
It's very dangerous, right? You've hit two people. Now, you don't know whether they're dead. And if you leave the scene without trying to help the people or get help, you are endangering them. It seems to me it's a lot more dangerous than, you know, attempted burglary.
Well, my response to that, Your Honor, would be that that's still not conduct in and of itself which poses a risk of injury. I think the focus has to be
it sure is conduct. You run someone down and you say, oh, well, I ran you down. Now you'll have to crawl your way to a hospital because I've got an appointment with my barber, right? You're saying that's inaction or something like that? I don't see that. I
sort of see your point. Especially if you're rushing, but no, I
not
do,
me,
I,
right? I don't have that.
You don't have that problem. That issue, that's not an issue.
I could have given another example.
I do see your point that driving at an excessive rate of speed is not what we ordinarily would think of as violence, because if it did, then 98% of all drivers are engaging in crime of violence. But here, in order to convict him of reckless homicide, a judge or a jury would necessarily have to find that his speed and failure to look where he were likely to cause. And doesn't that in itself suffice as a violent crime?
I think that's still putting the horse or the cart before the horse, Your Honor. I think that's looking at the result of the conduct, and clearly the result in this case was a death, and that in and of itself is violent, but that's not Mr. Day's conduct.
Well, that's why I'm focusing on. That's why I'm focusing on leaving the scene. That seems to me to be that's not just like speeding or something. Like, you actually hit two children and then you leave? I mean, that's clearly endangering those people.
And I take your point, Your Honor. I would say in response that I think there was an estoppel on that issue. I don't think the government relied on that third count for which Mr. Day was convicted, the leaving the scene count. That was all but ignored. The focus was on the reckless homicide, the actual driving in this case.
And I still haven't heard an answer to Judge Rovner's question, which is the big question I have. In Illinois, the element of the offense is likely to cause death or great bodily harm, and that falls squarely within the otherwise clause in the guideline.
I think that might fall squarely within the first prong of 4B1.2, Your Honor, possibly using force or committing an act where you're using force, but we're dealing with the second prong here, and I think all we know in this case of the conduct is from the complaint itself, and that conduct was some kind of either speeding per se or traveling too fast under the prevailing road conditions.
But in that section 2 of the guideline, it says, or otherwise involves conduct that presents a serious potential risk.
Yes.
So when you tie that to the elements, I mean, that's the big hurdle I think you have to get over.
But I don't think it's an element, Your Honor. I think we have to look at the conduct under the second prong of that guideline, we have to look at the conduct. And the conduct in this case was traveling at an unreasonable speed. And that in of itself alone does not inherently pose a serious risk or an elevated risk or a heightened risk that someone's going to be injured. It might, and it did in this case.
But if we look at, ignoring the charging language in this charging document, which alleges that he performed acts likely to cause death or great bodily harm to some individual. That allegation is one of conduct that poses a serious threat.
And again, I take your point, and I think it very closely mirrors Judge Easterbrook's concurring opinion in Rutherford, where he says, let's get real, folks. If you get in a car and you drive poorly and you kill somebody, that has to be using force. It has to be a crime of violence. But this court said, or the majority at least of the panel.
No, that's not what reckless homicide is, just being a bad driver or even just speeding. You have to look at the circumstances. If you're speeding down a crowded street, you close your eyes, something like that, that's one thing. That's not just a simple violation of the traffic laws. Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Kister. Mr. Cox?
Good morning, Your Honors. Richard Cox on behalf of the United States. Unless the court has questions, we would really stand on our brief in this case. Essentially, the questions that Judge Rovner
Why did leaving the scene fall out here? I don't understand that.
Your Honor, the only explanation I can give you for that is that the probation officer in the original probation pre-sentence report did not identify that as a crime of violence.
People aren't thinking. Leaving the scene after you've hit two children is extremely dangerous behavior.
I agree with you, Your Honor.
What's the probation service thinking if they don't think that's a crime of violence?
I can't answer for them, Your Honor, and I certainly, the process is when the probation office makes a report, both parties have an input into it. Obviously, the government didn't identify that as a...
Well, why didn't the government? Where's the common sense, right? You hit two children, then you leave the scene, and that is not conduct which creates a substantial risk of bodily injury?
I think it would be, Your Honor. I think the parties thought that the reckless homicide was a cleaner... For want of a better
No,
word.
It's not there, cleaner. It's well, not cleaner because there's a vagueness about reckless homicide. Nebulous. If you just read the Illinois statute, it looks like you're speeding, you're 5 miles above the speed limit and hit and kill someone. That's reckless homicide. Now, clearly there's more, but it's messy because the statute isn't, these criminal statutes actually tend to be over-inclusive, and this is very broadly drafted.
I take your point, Your Honor. I'll certainly take it back to our office and to our probation office that we should have been looking at that. But, of course, in this particular case, we didn't identify it. So
I had one question. There's that the Supreme Court took cert in that Begay case. That's a Tenth Circuit case. And the question presented there is whether felony driving while drunk is a violent felony for purposes of the Armed Career Criminal Act. And it also... And the language there, some of the critical language, mirrors our language. This otherwise involves conduct that presents a serious potential risk of physical injury to another. Do you think we should postpone or hold off on what we would do in light of that case? Or do you think that case, we can go forward? Or that case might inform?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I think this court should go forward. You have a non-precedential decision already on reckless homicide. I think the Newbern case already out of this district, or excuse me, the circuit with regard to the reckless discharge of a firearm, encompasses the government's argument in this case, and so I think you should go forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cox and Ms. Kister. Well, now we have another case with the same lawyers. So, Ms. Kister, you want to...